This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good morning. I'm Chris Plunkett. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host for the next hour here at the AM 970 The Apple. On the show, if you haven't listened to us before, you just tuned in for the first time, and I explained the steps of preparedness and recovery to the restoration regarding disasters and emergencies. And my guests are also in the same field I am, but they have more disciplines and more expertise in certain areas of the field. But what we like to talk about is definitely being prepared, and you know, saves time, saves money, saves property, whether it's you're a business owner or a property, or like your personal home, or even on a collective whole with your neighborhoods. So regarding our preparedness, we get many newsletters here, and I get them directly to my website. One of the things I constantly get is the Red Cross updates on preparedness. You know, and I say this week in, week out, you know, I'm a broken record regarding being prepared, but the Red Cross will reiterate, you know, so you're always talking about your waters and flashlights and batteries and first aid kits. And I remember I talked about a couple weeks ago, medicines, medications, backups on that. And like last week with the fire I had in one of the buildings, the lady didn't have any backup because she had to spend some time in a hotel for 3 or 4 days. So, again, and it also applies to cell phones and emergency blankets. And, Matt, you know, let me tell you something. You know, when emergencies and the cell phones aren't working, cell towers go down, just like in March 13 storms, which hit our entire tri-state area, a lot of cell service went down. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people don't even know how to read maps. So, you know, one day we're going to get hit real bad, and we'll have to go back to the old school about, you know, using our fingers and toes to do the adding instead of having machines do all that stuff. But, you know, medical supplies. And listen, infants, you should have those types of things, too. You should have baby supplies, those kinds of backups. Also with pets, I just got a newsletter from some national agency out in the Midwest regarding being prepared and boarding animals. And I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and so I guess they heard the radio station. They want to get a little credibility, too. So what do you do with your pets? They're on medicines, or they should have their foods. Then, you know, some of the other things that the Red Cross talks about is, but, you know, you should have your rain gear. You should have even those paper 95 masks, those types of things. And also one of the things is you should be prepared is have everything in order for when these things happen for your insurance companies or your management companies. It makes their job easier. They can process claims or losses, is what we call them in the industry. So if you just joined us, it's the Disaster Recovery Hour. You know, some of the stuff you can find on my website at cppems.com. I also put up a comment page so you can talk, ask me questions, and I can, you know, facilitate some stuff back to you. I also want to thank some of my past guests. I'd like to bring them back to the forefront. You have Dave Fenuhazi from the owner of Fabric Renewal. He deals with smoke and mold and water damage to clothing and fabrics. You can go to his website or you can go to my website for a link. You also had John Cremendi. He was the amateur radio ham radio operator. That was a very good show. I didn't realize these guys are a very important part of the puzzle when it comes to national disasters and regional breakdown of communications. These guys facilitate all that information between the fire departments and police departments. You know what? It sounds kind of like a big thing. It's not going to happen to your home. But you know what? On a whole, you know, your neighborhood could be shut down with power outages. These guys are able to talk and facilitate all that information between the different first responders. Then you also had the president of the Haitian civic community. He talked about the earthquake and how to get a hold of him and possibly donations. He was an interesting guy. And we also had industrial hygienist on here, Bruce Wolf from Garden State Environmental. There's a lot of, you know, in the forefront of the news with this mold and everybody getting sick. And, you know, he dispelled some of those misnomers out there. And we also had my fan favorite is Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric, also a captain in the fire department. Dan's the man with the power. He's the guy with the juice. And then one of my other guests was, which was outstanding, which was last week, was Nick Marisi from he's the director of communication from the New Jersey offices of emergency management. And he and I talked about preparedness. And this guy, he's got a lot of information. You know, going to their website, which is a link off of my website, again, at cppems.com. Nick talked about being prepared on a national standpoint. And then we talked about bringing on a state level. Then we brought it up county. Then we brought it up municipalities. So, you know, a lot of people think, what's the government doing? They're playing weekend war. You know what? Those drills and those practices, they come in handy. You know, they're not really wasting our tax money because, you know, when things do go and hit the proverbial fan, if you will, these guys have plans in place to execute. Which leads me into, I'm going to get into my guest today. He's a longtime friend and a business associate. His name is Kevin Teeterman. He owns a company out in Long Island that services the tri-state area, Premier Drying Solutions. We've worked on many large projects. We met downtown at 9/11, and besides doing work together, we've become pretty thick as thieves, if you will. Kevin's got a great reputation, not locally now, pretty much on the East Coast. He's on some disaster recovery committees across the country. He's a fine operator, great project manager, and owns his own business. He's got his partner, Vinny Valente, who couldn't make it in today. So, Kev, why don't we just jump right into it, because you and I can probably talk for about 4 days straight. Why don't we give the listeners a little background on and your education, because it's you have more initials at the end of it than the CEO of some major 500 corporation. I mean, you have the HAZWOPER, you have the IRCR, the RTI, which is the water, ASDs, the HAZWOPER. You're also New York State mold certified instructor. So Kevin's got a lot of knowledge, and Kevin and I coordinate and cooperate and get together on high profile jobs. Unfortunately, it was like the Corey Lytle Plain building. That was a pretty temperamental situation, considering it was the hospital special surgery. People were in there for surgery, and they got a plane in their building. Some of those types of things, and obviously with downtown, we also had other hospitals. We also had schools. You have to worry about air quality and making sure things get dried out properly and the growth doesn't happen. Kevin's got a lot of tools in his tool kit, if you will. And so, Kevin, I'm glad to see you, and we can have dinner afterwards. But how you doing? All right?
Not too bad, Chris. Okay. Thanks.
So you know what you and I see on with our competitors out there, and I don't want to get into who they are, but they don't know what they're doing when they're coming into a building that's been. You know, there's a disaster happened, an emergency, they had a flood, they had a fire, and they just think a couple of blowers, a couple of dehumidifiers, you know, then they're going to put a little Band-Aid on it. That's not the case at all. I mean, it's pretty complex, and like I said before, Kevin has an extensive amount of knowledge on what to do regarding these situations. So, you know what, give me an example of just going to your typical, let's go business-wise, into a typical building. What are your main functions one of the things you want to accomplish?
Well, the first thing we got to do is we have to be able to settle down the environment around it. Everybody's in a panic. Everybody's running around. Nobody knows exactly what to do and how to handle it. A lot of people that get involved in these situations, it's the first time they're dealing with it. So there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of fear. There's, you know, a lot of questions of, you know, how they read something on the internet or how they heard it from someone else. So you got to come in, be calming presence, be able to disbelief the myths that's going on.
Right.
So you want to come in with a calming presence, get everything squared away. The main objective when you walk in there is to prevent secondary damage. Stuff that's already destroyed, you can't do anything about. You try and fix it and put a Band-Aid on it. But the main objective when you walk into a building is to prevent any further damage in areas that haven't been affected or to the point where they have been affected, but to not the severity of point ground zero for the most part.
Mm.
The start of it, all right, you know, it's wet, it's when it's affected. Now you got to come in, you got to put the Band-Aid on it, and then fix everything around it and work it from the outside in.
So, what you and I have seen over the years with some of the guys out there, you know, this is a science now, and Kevin can tell you that because he's got hundreds and hundreds of hours of schooling, you know, because a lot of people, they just, you know, especially people who don't want to, they don't want to really acknowledge that, okay, something happened, we need to fix it, but, you know, let's kind of do some shortcuts. There's actually a science to it. So what you do with the thermal imaging camera, which is a great tool, a lot of people in this industry think it's blood money that we do, you know, taking advantage of a bad situation. You know, someone has to do it. And if someone's going to do that, you better have some knowledge and have some schooling and some background on how to deal with it, not just some guy with a wand and extracts water and puts a little deodorizer in the air and you know, goes away. If you just joined us, this is Disaster Recovery. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, with my guest, Kevin Teeterman. So Kevin was just talking about when we first get into a job. So you were talking about display, you know, all these myths about air quality and doing the right thing. So when you're setting those things up, you know, getting these people to settle down, you said they are freaking out. The panic that people don't want to have their work environment, which they're there 9 or 10 or 12 hours a day. They don't want to be compromised. Let us go to a station break, and Kevin's going to pick up where I'm going to ask him another question, and that's what we do on Talk Radio. So I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. It's Chris Plunkett. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. My guest today is Kevin Tiederman. Kevin owns Premier Drying Solutions out there in Long Island. I guess the LIE is the equivalent to the New Jersey Turnpike. So if you, I'm sure you metropolitan people understand what I'm talking about. Just before we went to the break, I was about to get into a question regarding, you know, a lot of people don't get it that this is just not hocus pocus. You stick your finger in a wet wall or a floor or a carpet and you say, okay, we're going to put some drying equipment in and be back in 3 days and come back with a nice shiny truck and you're all better. Because if you don't do it the right way the first time, you're going to be seeing that individual, whether it's a business owner or a homeowner, you'll be seeing them in 3 months because they're going to have some growth, you're going to have some irritability in their throat and their eyes, and they're going to say you didn't do it the right thing the first time. And that's one of the things that I think people in our industry, or I should say the insureds or the homeowners and business owners, they don't get that, you know, we're doing these steps and taking these steps for their benefit. So regarding those, you know, despite the myths of drying buildings and homes, when you get into a job, what is step one?
Well, step one is to go in and diagnose the building itself, figure out exactly what's wrong, what the building materials are, and what it's going to take to dry them, if they're dryable or not. The easiest way to walk into it is you walk in with an infrared imaging camera, and you walk in, and for the most part, with evaporation, you have cooling. So when you have cooling, you have a temperature difference that the camera will pick up. So you're looking for the colors that are going to be the coolest, and those are your starting points. The camera will qualify what's wet. Now, you have to qualify it, and then you have to take a moisture meter, which will actually qualify. They'll actually put a physical number, moisture content, on the surface or on a building material. At that point, you can decide whether it needs to be removed, whether it can be salvaged. Certain scenarios that you get into, double sheetrock and stuff, there's nothing you can do about it. Double sheetrock is two layers. It's an inch thick minimum. If you get 2.5 inches, fireproof inner fire rating, it's going to have to get removed. There's no way you're going to be able to dry the paper in between two layers of sheetrock. That's something right. That's not going to be part of the game. So it's a matter of going through on, you know, knowing your building codes. You know, someone that is educated on what's going on is going to have to address this. They're going to have to take it from step one to step Z and drying it. So after you qualify everything that's wet, then you come up with a drying scheme. You moisture map it out. You draw it out. You moisture map it. This way you can identify what's wet, what's not.
Moisture mapping is, you know, the surfaces of all the surfaces that could be wet, and also the things, because water does some magical things inside cavities. It could skip a room and be into another room. Hence the reason we do everything.
Absolutely. Water will find its way, the easiest way down between floors and between walls. If there's a pipe or plumbing where the wires go down, or even a plumbing pipe goes down, water is going to travel down that way and spread to another floor or spread to another area. It's going to find its low. Gravity will pull water down. It's a very heavy material. It's going to pull it down and settle at the bottom where it can't go any further. If it has no way to go to the next level, it's going to start spreading out and going. A lot of people might think that the water is contained to a certain area. 9 times out of 10, that's not true. Depending on how much moisture was brought into the building materials and into the surfaces, we're going to have to address that.
Right. Because, you know, people say, well, you know, it started over here, so you just need to, because a lot of people are in denial. They don't want their stuff to be ripped apart, and I can understand that. You know, your job is to restore and salvage, or first salvage, then restore. So they don't want to really acknowledge the fact that, you know, just had your basement bathroom leaked. Doesn't mean on the other side of the room, because you have wall-to-wall carpeting, you have manufactured floors, you know, you got to test over there, because a lot of people say, hey, what are you doing over there? The water didn't get over there. Well, little do you know, you have the thermal imaging camera, which you'll talk about now, but these are tools that we use to define the severity of damages. So you, after the moisture mapping and after the shock of, oh, my God, the water got over there, then you bring in the camera?
Absolutely. You bring in the camera. But the camera has liabilities, too. It has limitations. Because if there is a vapor barrier that it's up, it's not going to read that it's wet. Certain wallpapers are a vapor barrier. You're not going to read that moisture through wallpaper. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're going to have to use the meter. And you're going to have to kind of figure out what's going on by the map that you have and then be able to qualify it with a meter. The camera is a great tool. It's a great instrument. But it has its faults, and you have to, you know, go old school and figure out a way to map out the place properly.
Okay. So, but like the camera is really good with masonry work. Because in our area, the tri-state area, you have a lot of plaster buildings, you know, pre-World War II buildings or even after World War II. You know, not the drywall, which is easy to determine by, you know, just going over the paper, or you want to stick the wall itself. But the camera is more definitive. And also, one of the things that the carriers like is that when we use the camera, you know, you have a date and you have a wall, you can actually edit the actual picture of it, and then you download it. And this is, again, definitive damage that, you know, comes out of dollars and cents that you can get paid for.
Yeah, you put a time stamp onto it. And everything you do with insurance companies, they want proof of what's going on and what you did day to day. They want proof that something is drying or something is not. So with that time stamp on the pictures that you're taking and sending uploads into the insurance companies, that's what is very important about the drying process, to say, hey, we are making headway or we're not making headway.
Right.
And the insurance company is not going to put up with someone that's not making headway or doesn't know what they're doing.
Right. Well, you know, hence the reason why you have all the certifications, because the insurance carrier wants to know that, hey, the guy's in this building, he's not about to try to pull the wool over my eyes. I know it's this, I know it's that, because they're also educated. And that's the way this industry has been going in the last, what do you say, about the last 10 years, about getting certified in education, instead of some guy with a mop and a wand and a van, he pulls up in front of your house and thinks he's going to remediate your damage.
Yeah, well, the industry's changed quite a bit in the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, before, you used to walk in and people would just put blowers and dehumidifiers in and think that was a cure-all, you know, and they never knew anything about air quality or mold. So at the end of the day, you have to figure out the, you know, cubic footage of dehumidification, the linear footage of drying equipment, and the square footage of floor space that has to be affected, and you need proper equipment to get the dry standard. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is,
right,
you know, everything has a moisture content. Nothing is dry. Sheetrock holds, you know, a moisture content. It's, you know, you got to find within the dry standard, and you want to be within 10 points of that dry standard when you're drying something. So you have to be able to establish what the dry standard is in your area, what that dry standard is in the building material, and then be able to achieve, you know, within a certain degree. This way, you're not worried about secondary damage.
Right, because and also it's protecting them, because, you know what, if you don't dry it out properly and it dries naturally, if you will, now you have growth. Now you have mold. Now you have itchy eyes and coughing kids and asthma and, you know. So, you know, then there's some people say, oh, you're bringing all this equipment out there. You know, it's overkill. It's you know what it is? Do it right the first time. Yeah, the insurance company is going to pay for it, or the management company, or even if it's out of pocket, you know. But, you know, it takes a lot of time. And I was saying this a couple of weeks ago, and you have the same thoughts that I do. When you get into these people's homes or business, you need to educate them. And listen, it's just it's not open heart surgery. But let me tell you something. If it's not done properly, you're gonna see me again, and this time it's going to be expensive. So going in and drying and educating them is huge. So you have the camera. Now, the dehumidifiers and the blowers, that's what we call it in the industry, you know, so people don't quite grasp what this insurance, you know, they say they go to, what's that store that they buy a little dehumidifier. It doesn't do the trick. So the blowers and the DUs, give me some background on how that works in conjunction to drying.
Well, to prevent secondary damages, you know, you need a couple of things that are going on. For mold growth to happen, you need the food source, you need moisture, and you need air not to be moved, stagnant air. With blowers and dehumidifiers, blowers are keeping the air moving. Dehumidifiers are pulling the moisture out of the air. It's this way we are preventing everything that's going on. Dehumidifiers, a household dehumidifier will bring a specific humidity down to 55. Air conditioners are a great dehumidifier that people don't even know about. But once again, it's only bringing the specific humidity in the air down to 55 grains per pound. The commercial dehumidifiers will do it a lot better. They'll bring it down anywhere between 30 and 35 grains when they're running at their optimum use. Okay, so with the blowers going across the walls, you're creating positive pressure, coming across the wall, creating negative pressure, pulling that moisture out from the wall, letting the dehumidifier do its job.
So now there's a formula. Obviously, I know there's a formula. You know there's a formula, but because people say, you know, just try to dry it out, just load it up and bake the building. That's good for plastic. But for drywall, if it's salvageable, because, again, you don't want to disrupt these people's lives. You want to try to, you know, listen, we all like to be heroes. So you want to try to salvage the drywall. So the formula regarding dryers and blowers and dehumidifiers, what is it? What is the optimal humidity levels of the dehumidifier that it needs to bring down for acceptable?
Well, you want to bring it down. Anything, when you first come into a water damage and you put drying equipment in, even when you're doing the extraction, it is 10,000 times easier to physically remove water than to try and evaporate or dry it. So the best thing is to get as much water out of the carpet, the padding, the walls, by simply extracting it and removing it, mopping it up, doing what you can do to actually pull it out. After you get to that point, for the most, the standard is every 10 to 16 linear feet to have a air mover on the wall. So, and what linear feet is, if you're looking down the side of the wall, the base molding that's sitting there, that's linear feet. So you want to go the length of the wall. So every 10 to 12 feet, 16 to feet max, is that's where you want air movement across that wall. Dehumidifiers work off of cubic foot. So every dehumidifier has a different rating. There are a ton of different units that are commercial and then larger. So it depends on the dehumidifier, but you want the dehumidifier to process the cubic footage. So you might have to put more than one dehumidifier or even one type of dehumidifier to achieve what you need. And when you have that initial spike of coming in and doing the work, you're going to wind up having that spike that's going to go up. You need to have that drying equipment set up so it handles that spike. This way you don't create any secondary damage. And at the end of the day, when you walk out, that dehumidifier is working to the optimum efficiency that you need to achieve the drying standard. And each day you'll take moisture readings, and it's relative humidity and temperature, and it'll give you a specific humidity, and that's grains per pound. You need to create that grains per pound to the point where it's always downsized from where it was. You want the room temperature and the room specific humidity to be constantly coming down. The dehumidifier should be outperforming the room. Mm-hmm. Once it stops, then it's game over. You're dry and you're set up. Okay. If it's not, then you got to keep going.
This is Disaster Recovery Hour. You just joined us. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, talking with Kevin Teeterman. Kevin owns Premier Drying Solutions out on the island. So, you know what you mentioned before about the air conditioner is a good dehumidifier. Now, do you like them to work in the room to be on when you're dehumidifying and moving the air, or you want the homeowner to shut that down?
No, I definitely want it on. It's a great dehumidifier. A lot of people have central air or AC running inside their condos, co-ops, buildings. Let it run. A lot of these dehumidifiers, when they hit a certain temperature, they'll actually stop working. So you want that dehumidifier working. You want an optimum temperature between 80 and 100 degrees. 95 is probably optimum where they're going. Once the dehumidifiers get over 100 degrees, they stop working or they get to a point where they start slowing down. So you want optimum temperatures going.
Okay. So if you just join us, my guest is Kevin Teeterman. This is Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. We're going to go to a station break because that pays the bills, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett. This is the AM 970, The Apple. We'd like to talk about preparedness regarding the and mitigating and further damages regarding when you have disasters and emergencies. And today's my guest is Kevin Teeterman. Kevin is an owner of Successful Premier Drying Solutions. Kevin is an expert in drying out buildings, homes, and whatever. You'd probably dry out the Atlantic Ocean if you gave it a shot. But if you want to, if you don't, somewhere down the line, you go on my website, sign up for the podcast as a subscription, and you'll get notified of each show. Also, there's a comments and questions page that you can throw some questions at me. If I don't have the answers, I can guarantee you somebody that I work with is going to have an answer. That's why I have Kevin in my world. I mean, I have a couple of techniques I like to do, and Kevin's got a lot of techniques he likes to apply, I should say, to our field of emergency services and disaster recoveries on from water and fire and structural issues. And another thing is, you know, a lot of companies are still uncertified out there. You know, Kevin's got lots of schooling. I got a fair amount of schooling underneath my belt also. There's the, you know, very important regarding water. And a lot of insurance companies are now requiring that these emergency service companies be certified, and especially from the big one, the IICRC, and that's the Institute Inspection, Certification, Restoration, and Cleaners. That's huge. You know, I mean, you want some guy who's in your house, especially your house. Forget about business. You know, who's dealing with your personal property. You want him to be schooled and have the knowledge of how to deal with certain items that got affected by water or even smoke, for that matter. This month is National Preparedness Month, and one of the things that Kevin and I see on a daily basis is the homeowner or business owner either acted too slowly or acted too quickly. So, Kev, we'll pick up where we just left off. You know, some of these non-certified companies are coming out, and you and I have been called in on jobs after the fact because of the guys not having the knowledge. So your knowledge and educating the homeowner or the business owner, because we do a lot of educating out there, and we're kind of regurgitating what they've taught us, but to apply it to real life, you're one of the best at it. And I'll tell you right now, I call Kevin. Some things I just don't know, and I got no problem not knowing something, but I can tell you I'm going to find somebody who doesn't know it. And with the insurance companies and the continuing education that's on for agents and building supers, and you do a lot of that schooling for them because you've been doing it yourself.
The thing I recommend for every homeowner, when you come on any project in your house, you actually research who comes into your house. I recommend you do the same way. I know it's a emergency that you're into, and I realize that, hey, you know, it's tragedy, and a lot of people aren't thinking straight. But you should know who's coming into your home and who's actually performing the work. There's a lot of guys that aren't part of the ICRC. They haven't gone through the training. They don't know the applied science that needs to be done. So they either create not enough damage or too much damage. They're doing, you know, things that just are not necessary. Unfortunately, the first thing you should do is find out from your insurance company who is their recommended contractors. Find out who they are. Do a little research on them. Get a little schooled on them. Get educated on them. After you find out who they are and if they're a certified firm, then come in there and ask questions. Ask them, have them explain the entire process to you. Make sure you feel comfortable with everything they're doing. This is your home. This is something that you have to live with at the end of the day, and make sure that the firm that's inside performing work inside your house that you are comfortable with and you feel that they are educated enough to handle the project. If they're not, throw them out. Once again, this is your house. Okay. You need to be happy with what's going on in your house and have everything set up.
Yeah, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, a small job that I got landed into a bigger job only because the other emergency service company came in. They were recommended by the insurance company. The guy came in, did his business, and left. He never educated the two people that he was responsible for taking care of. What happened is he was removed from the job. I spent a little extra time, and I don't think it's really extra time. I think it's the right thing. You know, these people are at our mercy because it's a tragedy, it's a disaster. So I know over the years that you spend a lot of time educating, and I spend a lot of time educating. So if they're not prepared, again, this is National Preparedness Month, you know, it makes our job more difficult. It adds more stress to them. So a benefit for them was, like you just said, do a little research. So they do the research, you come in. Now we're going to lead into that. If they didn't do the right thing, what are the common things you see, and how do you coordinate that with them and the carrier or the building, or it's like when we do city work or federal work? So where are your hurdles along those lines?
Well, hurdles are, a lot of times if someone already tried to address the problem, you're already walking in 48, 72 hours later. And that's when secondary issues start to happen. So if someone is not proactive enough and they're not doing the right thing, now we walk in on a tighter rope where secondary damage is going to happen, and we need to be a little more proactive and get things done a little faster. If you have someone come in right on the get-go, they're going to address it. They're going to moisture map it, and they will do what the necessary to get that building or the structure down to a dry standard. A lot of times you'll have maintenance crews and stuff, and a lot of these guys are very educated, but they don't do this every day. They're concerned about the building. They don't know what's wet, what's not. They'll walk in with a simple moisture meter, and they'll miss something. You know, a certified guy, someone that does this every day, is not going to miss the hidden objects that, you know, could come up and bite someone in the butt.
Right. So if you just joined us, this is Disaster Recovery. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, speaking with Kevin Teterman. That's what a lot of those things we do miss. You know, the guys coming in very quickly and try to mitigate, but they don't do it every day. So then we get called in, like you said, 48, 72 hours later, and now we have an issue. And then it's, you know, you're starting from, you know, you're looking uphill at this point because, okay, it wasn't done right the first time. There's going to be some personality issues, and obviously there's going to be some finger pointing, and that you're going to come in and you're going to try to play and mediate the people and the building or the business and get everybody on the same page. And that takes time, and it takes experience, and obviously Kevin's got plenty of it. So regarding, let's use the hospital for example. I told you at the beginning of the show, Kevin and I, one of the larger high-profile jobs was the unfortunate accident with Corey Lytle in the plane building. That was a hospital, and they brought in a TPA, a third-party administrator, to oversee our work, and Kevin was instrumental in getting those people back in the residential apartments of the hospital, something like that, right?
Yeah, it was a residential. When someone had procedure, and the family was able to stay in the lower apartments while the procedure was being performed. Mm.
So, and you spent a lot of time, days, just moisture mapping, because now it's a high-profile job. Now you have a hospital involved, so you have different type of cleaning, and obviously it's a hospital, so they have a stricter guideline. So moisture mapping for there was huge on your part. I remember you actually stayed there the entire next day and into the night. So with the moisture mapping, people think it's hocus pocus, but it's not. And the reason why is because you're going to have growth, right?
Absolutely. You need to address everything that's in there. There's a lot of contaminants. Once water starts traveling from floor to floor, you don't know what's in between the floors and what's running down. So the contaminants and the moisture mapping is very important. This way you know the actual path of impact and the path of water traveled, and you can address what the commonalities are or what the impurities in the crawl spaces, in the floor spaces, everything that's on the in-between floors, inside walls. It's not a clean environment. It's everything that someone was building and the dust and everything that was thrown into the middle, and now it's washing down in between levels of floors and down into people's living spaces. And that's something you want to be able to avoid.
So, what was the three categories of water? There was clean water, gray water, black water. Now it's pretty much black water regardless, because water's hitting these components, like you said, especially like in New York City, with the high rises, with those pre-World War II buildings they have in between the floor, they have that slag filling that is pretty much garbage, not really, but, old pieces of paper and wood chips, and so it. And that stuff's been in those buildings, for 50, 60, 70, 80 years?
Absolutely. Clean water category one is, it's very rare that you're going to find that. That's what they call typical drinkable water. Category two is water that is contaminated, and that's the majority of water damage you're going to see. And category three, black water, that's your sewages, that's your 48 to 72 hour water that's already changed, so your environment changes. And that's something you have to be very careful about, is where you are in your classifications and your categories, because that also implements the drying and what you actually need to remove.
So when you're in a space, and when we come in those 48 or 72 hours later, and we had that possible mold growth, if you will, that dirty four-letter word that we all hear, we don't like to say it. Now, are you a proponent of getting somebody in right away, or do you dictate by the interview of the customer or the insured if they have health issues? Because I had Bruce Wolf from Garden State Environmental on a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things he's a great guy, and he's the kind of guy who addresses each project individually instead of just bowling everybody together like some of the people that we know. Mr. Wolf was talking about personalities at all these, because people freak out with mold and such. So when I see it, what is a red flag for you? If it's after 48 hours, 72 hours, the drawing's been doing it by itself, the homeowner or the business owner hasn't done the right thing. I shouldn't say the right thing. Most of the people are knowledgeable, so they don't really know what the right thing is. Do you like to call in hygienists, or do you think, are you going to go by the New York State guidelines with the square footage of growth issues?
Well, anytime you get into that gray area, if you're the second guy in, it's always better off to have a hygienist come in to find out exactly what's going on, because you don't know how long it's actually been wet and what the person did in front of you. So better to be safe than sorry. And, this way that the actual homeowner or the building owner is protected themselves, we're protected, and makes everything a little bit easier.
Okay. If you just joined us, it's a Disaster Recovery Hour. My guest today is Kevin Teterman. We're talking about water damage, and also we're going to tie in some of the preparedness, because it is National Preparedness Month. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. Again, this is Chris Plunkett, and we're going to go station break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And you're back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett. I'm your host, AM 970, The Apple, Talk Radio of New York. We got check out the website. There's a lot of top-notch guys out there during the week doing what they do. I do that once a week on Saturdays at 7 a.m. in the morning. Hopefully you're awake and you're driving around listening to me talk about being prepared and not having disasters in your life, and if you do, what to do with them. So my guest today is Kevin Teterman. Kevin and I just left off regarding if we come in after the fact and you didn't realize you were supposed to call somebody regarding the growth, that there's possible growth, the water damage, the things in your home or even your place of business, because, in place of business, you got to be operational, you got to generate those dollars, the tax man wants it. So, Kev, some of the things, you know, tying into the National Preparedness Month, you know, you get all these newsletters, you know, the president puts out stuff, Red Cross puts out, the federal FEMA puts out stuff, what people can do with preparedness. Which ties into some of the common losses that you see, water damages. What are the things that people could address before they even met you, or meet you, I should say?
Well, the thing that I would recommend is everybody, when they go on vacation, turn the water off to the house. I know you have your lawn sprinklers, but cut the waters on your washing machine hoses, your dishwasher, your toilets, your sinks. Replace the hoses on your toilets, your washing machines, every 7 to 10 years. They have the steel braided. If you don't have the hard fix, what happens is a lot of times during summer, everybody has their sprinklers on, and when there's that pressure that, you know, when the sprinklers turn on and off, there's that back pressure. Now, if the hose is not sitting right or it's compromised, it's going to wind up breaking while you're away, and that's going to cause a major problem because you could be away on vacation for 2 weeks, and water will be filling up your basement and running out your front door, and that is something you don't want to see. Right. You don't want to come home to something like that.
Right.
The other thing I recommend is if you actually do have a problem, get a notepad, get a folder, document everything goes on. It's a lot easier to ask questions when someone is standing in front of you instead of trying to get them on the phone and ask one question, then try and get them back.
Right.
Write your questions down. Get everything. Do your due diligence. If you have something or something's bothering you, write it down. This way, when you have that person in front of you, you can ask that question, and they'll give you an answer. And then you can say, okay, fine, check, 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 and work through it. You know, it's a lot easier when the person's standing there than trying to track someone down. Okay?
So you and you and I have been on these jobs, and we field one question at a time, and you get 9 phone calls on one particular job over a course of a day. And I mean, listen, they're not used to this. It's what we do for a living, and they're stockbrokers or they're bankers or they're lawyers or whatever. But so you want to get that comprehensive notepad, write these things down. Again, you know, again, it ties into being prepared. So now I know what I see. I know what you see. You know, you go into these homes, people don't have the, you know what? How many times have you asked, hey, do you know your insurance companies or even the management company? And people don't know, okay? You know, so there's that anxiety that we have to deal with. And, you know, sometimes I think because you and I enjoy doing what we do, we don't mind spending the extra time with these people because they do have the state of anxiety and panic going on. But it would be easier. It would be a little bit of a smoother transition to do our physical work if they had the contact information. Who's their broker, insurance company? Who's the property manager? Heck, even if they were in city housing, they should know who their coordinator is for that particular building. So in changing out those things, and, you know, you have, I don't know, what, 20, 30 guys that that work for you. What are the things that are the common theme for you on most of your jobs?
Well, the common theme for us is, once again, everybody's in a panic. Everybody's in a rush. Everybody doesn't know how to deal with something and ensure of, you know, who's doing what in their home. It's that common presence to get everything pulled into a circle and said, okay, this is the job scope. Explain it out to them. Let them know what the drying process is. Let them know what the extraction process is, what needs to be removed and why, and, you know, what doesn't need, what can be salvaged. Once the homeowner understands exactly what's going on and how to be prepared for it, you know what, it calms everything down. You gave them a guideline, a timeline, and an outline to finish the job, start to finish. So it's a matter of getting from point A to point B and no surprises. It's a matter of finishing start to finish and everybody understanding, including the insurance company, so there's no hidden surprises, and everybody should know exactly what's going on at any given time during the process.
Yeah, that's where most people get in trouble, the mitigation companies, about the bad communication and or the breakdown of communication, because then those surprises generally are attached to dollars, and people really do freak out when they say, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be that much. And, well, you know what? To moisture map and to have equipment and to have, you know, you want some guy in a dirty van pulling up in front of your house with some dehumidifier he picked up off the ground and he refurbished it. You know what? Do you want some guy who's the truck's in order? I mean, business insurance alone is crazy in our neck of the woods, especially because we're coming in with damaged buildings. And so what is going to be damaged, what isn't going to be damaged, our liability is for exposure is huge. So, you know, educating your guys is another time-consuming thing that you need to do, because, you know what, you don't want to catch, well, you know, so-and-so didn't tell me about that. You know, that. So again, having a solid company come in and again certify with the IRCRC, those are important. Again, you were telling them to do the background. So one of the things that I always find is that they don't understand that there's a process to this. So the longer you're in their lives, the worse things they're probably going to get because they don't want to see it professionally. So what are your hurdles that you see commonly after the loss happens and in the process of mitigating that damage?
One of the complications that we have is having people actually understand that there is a science to drying. Wet will always go to dry. Hot will always go to cold. It's that yin and yang about things that it's trying to get people to understand why you have this equipment in there, why it's running in their home, it's too loud, it's keeping me up at night. But the equipment is there for a purpose. And the more that you turn the equipment off or you're being disruptive, you're going to keep the equipment there and, unfortunately, a company like mine there longer. You want to let us come in, do our job so we can get out. You know, there's no complications at that point. So, I mean, unfortunately, it is an intrusion to your home and to the way you live and the way things, but the longer you interfere with the process, if the company's reputable, let them do what they have to do. It's their neck in the noose at the time, and it's their bodies that are, you know, that's their reputation.
Yeah. If you just joined us, you're late, but you can catch us on my website, cppems.com, on the podcast. So we're talking about being prepared. We're talking about drying processes because a lot of people don't understand that there is a science to it. And also your thoughts on being prepared when you come in, what they should have in order. Because you know what? A lot of people don't even know what they own. I mean, they see it, but they don't really know what they own. So I'm sure you go down to it all the time of explaining, okay, now here's a couch I got wet. Is it salvageable? Is it not salvageable? So the hurdles on not understanding that there is a true science, and there's actually, you know, there's a dollar figure to that. You know, it costs money to produce these reports and have equipment like that.
But they should even know their insurance companies and what they're actually insured for. A lot of people get insurance 10 years ago and never look at their policies ever.
Yeah,
is it replacement? Is it cash? You know, what type of insurance they have and what their numbers are. Because a lot of people are underinsured. They get insurance 10 years ago, never look at their policy, they just keep renewing it and never increase their coverages. In that time, they've collected a lot more. Their values are a lot more. They need to know and revisit this.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, and who's the bad guy is generally us, because we're going to say, well, listen, you don't have coverage for that. We'd like to help you out, but you know it's going to come out of your pocket. And that's when, because generally our companies are the face of the project. They don't really have a whole lot of contact with the carrier except for via the phone. And so it's guaranteed them. You know, but you know that's with that education part of it. That they should have, they should do the due diligence, if you will, prior to these things happening. Again, about being prepared. You know, the internet is flooded with National Preparedness Month with stuff that you should have, with the caches and the policy numbers and such like that. Kevin's information I have embedded in my head. I've been with Kevin for quite so many years now. Done some great projects together. Kev, how do some of the people get a hold of people? You can also do comments that Kevin can answer off my webpage. How do they get a hold of you, Kev?
You can go to my office at 631-580-5000. You can, I'll even give him my cell phone, 631-384-2120. And my email is kt@smcleanny.org. If you put anything up, you have any questions, or anything I can help you with at any given time, feel free to give me a call.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a super educational segment we had here today. I know Kev for a long time, and I lean on him a lot. And if you just heard this program, you know why. This is Disaster Recovery Hour you've been listening to, and this is Chris Plunkett. And enjoy the rest of your week. And Kev, thanks a lot, brother.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.